I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Something like a phenomenon, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Everton dump Boreham Wood out the cup, and it's the Manchester Derby this weekend. It's Friday, 4th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushin Hunter-Raja.
Welcome, everybody, to your fabulous Friday. I've got some good news and some bad news. The bad news is the gate that stands between you and the weekend is currently locked. The good news is that I'm holding the key. Fish, it's been a while since we've sat round the Ramble table. How are you, darling?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I've usually tried to scale into the weekend from the back. I've never tried to come through the front gate. It's a new experience for me. Yeah.
We don't know he's going to let us in yet.
No. Why have you become the gatekeeper for the weekend, by the way?
Because it's just an idea that I had. And I'm running with it.
Right, okay.
It's confident, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Very confident indeed. The voice of Jim Campbell there. How are you?
I'm all right.
Excellent.
All right.
Stuff. Jim, your beloved Boreham Wood have gone out of the cup to Everton 2-0 at Goodison Park.
Crushed.
Yes, they, of course, had a very impressive run.
They did.
You cannot deny that. You'd be very foolish.
I'd be a fool too, yeah. It's a shame, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, they did so well to be there and to keep it at 0-0 for 57 minutes.
57 whole minutes.
Yeah.
But then Rondon's going to Rondon, isn't he? I mean...
Sometimes he is,
did
yes.
Did you forget he was there? It's like a little Rafa Benitez Easter egg, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is a little bit like that, isn't it?
Just reminds you that he was manager once upon a time.
Rafa Benitez Easter egg.
He loves Rondon.
Yeah, I suppose he either should have taken him with him.
Well, maybe he will.
Well, I bought that.
Yeah. Rafa's not in a job now, is he?
No, he's not.
Well, when he
gets
set up, he'll send for him, I'm sure.
Send for him. Send for the Rondon.
Yeah, but he got a couple, of course. Manager of Boreham Wood, Luke Garrard, has been there as a player or manager for 17 years now, full of praise for his team, of course. At full time, he sprinted across to the away fans with a Boreham Wood flag draped around him, which was quite nice. Yes.
They made the most of the opportunity, didn't they?
Should.
And absolutely right, yeah. Mm. It was pretty lovely that they're even there at all.
Yeah, he said, as I say, full of praise from of his own team and also Frank Lampard, Everton manager. And he said the team that Lampard picked was tremendous. He has not disrespected us.
No.
So that was nice.
Did he get
it?
His shirt in the end? Did we know he was talking before the game, wasn't he, about wanting to get Lampard's shirt?
Yeah. Does Lampard still carry around maybe like old Chelsea shirts?
I was going to say, does he just want one of his Burton shirts?
Yeah, I assume so. But
Burton's.
You know.
Lampard's not shopping at Burton's, is he?
No, he's probably... Where is he? Charles Tuet. How do you pronounce that?
Yeah, Charles Tirrett.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit more like it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you were manager of a Premier League side, Vish, would you disrespect a much smaller side when you're a team selection?
I think I would, yeah. Mm. You only have so many opportunities to do that.
Mm. And you enjoy playing the heel, don't you?
Yeah.
If
you're guaranteed victory, you'd still need to put, like, 11 humans on the pitch. You might get away with a little hamster. Left back, can you? And you were far away from the goal.
Yeah. It could be. It was always rumours, wasn't there, that on the last
hamster
day,
wasn't going to play, was he?
No, not the hamster. that on like the last day of the season, if a team has won the title and they won it a few weeks earlier, they were going to put a goalkeeper up front. It was always, is Schmeichel going to play up front for Man United, all that kind of stuff. And it never happened.
When Kevin Keegan did it with the European spot on the line.
Was that was Keegan? No,
it was Stuart Pearce.
Easily,
Keegan,
easily. They'd made up a shirt for David James, didn't they? So it was clearly like a pre-planned thing.
Yeah, but that wasn't because they needed...
Sorry, I really bad that I attributed that to Keegan.
It seems reasonable.
It does,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
So far down
because it didn't work. Did
the man
it?
Has suffered
it
on this show.
It didn't work.
He never started with David James up front. They needed something.
Oh, I've written the team sheet upside down.
No. I think you're being disrespectful.
I am, to
Stuart Pearce and his logic, because they needed to get something out of the game, so they put a goalkeeper up front.
Yeah.
They did get a penalty in the last minute and they missed, though. Why are we talking about this?
I don't know, but it's disrespectful to Everton, of course, who are through to the quarterfinals. I mean, they were never going to lose this, Jim. It's quite a professional job, wasn't it? Easy peasy.
Yeah, essentially.
That's what you say, isn't it? When you beat a team that's lower down and 2-0 is usually the score, it's a professional job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose the other option is you can go all out and you'd be like Michael Owen volleying past that 13-year-old goalkeeper. But to be fair, I mean... That didn't seem to be an option, did it? Boreham Wood gave a really, really good account of themselves. And it's always fascinating to see that stack up, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The Boreham Wood chairman said he's going to treat the players to a little trip to Dubai this month.
What, for losing?
Yeah, where would they have gone?
That's why you're where you are, Boreham Wood.
Yeah, if you'd have won, you'd have won California or something.
Not going to get in the FA Cup quarterfinals, that sort of attitude, rewarding failure.
It's Cool Runnings all over again, isn't it? They'll have a film made out of them, crying out loud.
Did you watch Cool Runnings and think, why they boo them?
Yeah.
They didn't have the decency to finish the race properly.
Yeah.
Make a mockery of the Winter Olympics.
Yeah. Someone said I was missing the point. I said, I think they were missing the point. Dearie me.
Why's it got an egg?
Yeah, that's right. Did you see that Kane's...
Cool Runnings, incidentally, is one of the movies that Michael Owen has watched and hated.
How can you hate that film?
I think it might be
the
only one he finished.
I mean, how can you hate that film?
How can you sit there trying to think about football instead, which is what he did when he was made to watch movies? Again, back to Michael Owen being a weirdo, but you're never far away.
I want to talk about Kane Smith, who's a lifelong Everton fan and celebrated at Bournemouth in a Tony Hibbert shirt. He arrived at Goodison earlier yesterday to pick up tickets for Everton versus Spurs on Monday.
Love it.
Mm.
That is brilliant, yeah. Do you think, though, you mentioned Lampard there and Garrett asking for a shirt. Do you reckon he could have, at the end of the game, instead of swapping shirts, being like, have you got any spares for the weekend? Just going around each player.
Indeed, yeah. Well, Everton, they've been rewarded with a trip to Crystal Palace in the quarterfinals. Tasty one. I sort of fancy Palace. I think this could be their year, despite the fact that they're probably about the fourth or fifth favourites for it now. Middlesbrough host Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
which we said, didn't we, that with Middlesbrough, would they get, you know, a fellow Championship side and so on? But there we are. It's another Giant killing on the cards.
Annoyingly, though, the Giants are sort of kept apart, aren't they?
I know what you mean. Well, Southampton are facing Man City, and Southampton are, you know, doing okay, but obviously City will be favourites for that. And then Liverpool play Nottingham Forest or Huddersfield. So Forest themselves, they need to overcome Huddersfield if they want another chance at the old Giant killing again. But Huddersfield will fancy that. That game's on Monday, of course, Forest versus Huddersfield. I mean, can you see past the sort of Man City, Liverpool or Chelsea, really, Jim?
I would love to say I could, but I just can't.
I think you've summed up everyone's feelings there.
I think I'd of those teams, if I had to pick one to win it, I'd probably pick, you know, Palace, Forest or Middlesbrough, obviously, if I could choose who won.
Huddersfield.
If I could choose who won the FA Cup, obviously I'd have some sort of powers going on, and I probably wouldn't busy myself with that. Mm. But still, I think Liverpool is the team I'd like to see it win it most. It's just a bit boring if Chelsea or City win it, isn't it?
Mm. Would you agree with that, Vish?
Yeah, I was
being
kind of
a Man United fan. Who would you rather, Man City or Liverpool?
I was hoping that three of those or two of those three would end up facing each other in this draw.
Yeah, exactly.
Take one of them out, and I suppose with Everton against Palace, you do have a. You do have a situation where like one of them, you know, going to be in the semi-final, so that's pretty cool. But
Yeah. All right. Well, we shall see, everybody. I mean, look, I've heard that there's still magic in the FA Cup. Maybe we will see that magic.
We could have a situation where Everton get relegated and lose the FA Cup finals to Liverpool.
Middlesbrough-esque.
Still possible.
Middlesbrough-esque, that would be. So anyway, gentlemen, we turn our attention now to the Premier League, and kicking off at 12:30 on Saturday, Leicester versus Leeds. And we've seen the new man, his first presser, of course, Jesse Marsh. And he, you know, first press conference as Leeds manager. And much like Natalie Imbruglia, he said he was torn. He said he was torn over succeeding Marcelo Bielsa as manager. He said, I didn't want Marcelo to go out like this. I wanted to make that argument to the Leeds director of football, Victor Orta, when he called me, but I could see that the group was suffering.
It's an odd attitude, isn't it?
Well, it is an odd attitude, because reportedly he has been in contact with the powers that be at Leeds for a couple of years now, Jesse Marsh. So I think they've always quite fancied him in a footballing manager sense. And Bielsa's contract was up this summer, and the suggestions are he was going to take over anyway. So he gave quite a charismatic press conference, Fish, I think it's fair to say, and tried to laugh off and sort of rubbish, you know, a lot of the typical Americanisms that some people in this country have of American managers and so on. Were you impressed with Mr. Marsh?
I was. I felt like a lot of the American stuff was. I mean, it is ridiculous. And the fact that he had to address it and do it charismatically is a bit pathetic on the people he was trying to convert, I suppose. I was going to say pander to, but he wasn't quite pandering to them.
He handled himself well.
No, he did. But it was the fact that he had to tick those boxes that seemed a bit ridiculous,
Yeah, yeah.
Among everything else, you know, the stuff he was talking about tactically, for example, about changing how Leeds are in transition and
man marking.
Going a bit away from man marking, but maybe not losing that cut and thrust that they have, which has been a hallmark of them in the Premier League and that, you know, promotion season in the Championship, where obviously their running stats this season are still the highest. It just seems to be that something's lacking, which I suppose is broadly the decision making. But it seemed like quite an impressive guy. Obviously, things didn't work out at RB Leipzig, so I'm a little bit wary. But
he said the vibes weren't right at RB Leipzig.
The vibes.
That's what he said.
Right, okay. Is he on TikTok as well?
It could be. I mean, he was obviously very good at New York when he was managing in New York, and then obviously RB Salzburg as well. You know, he did well there. But Jim, what do you think? You know, he said he didn't want Marcelo to go out like this, and you said that quote was quite interesting. And then he comes in and said, but the side was suffering, and well, tactically, we are going to need to change some things.
Yeah. Well, I think Marcelo Bielsa is so popular at Leeds that it makes sense to, you know, to just praise him, essentially, doesn't it, as you come in? Because it's a very difficult situation. It's a very unusual situation that a team are in trouble having just lost a beloved manager. Mm. You know, we were saying the other day, it's a bit strange. So it makes sense from his point of view in terms of trying to sort of ingratiate himself to the fans. And that's not to say it's not genuine. I'm sure it's absolutely genuine, but it does make sense. But it is a huge change, isn't it? Just even going from zonal to man marking at this point in the season when the stakes high. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Mm. That's... It's very... it's going to be interesting to see how the team adapt to that, because they've played in Bielsa's way for such a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they are really defined by it as footballers.
Yeah. I mean, they're in a relegation scrap. And as you say, he needs to hit the ground running, because we're into March now, which seems pretty mad. Games are coming thick and fast. And this is an important game against Leicester City. What did you think of the comments that the Right Honourable Richard Keys and Andy Gray made when they said that Leeds should have hired Sam Allardyce? Okay. James Maddison, let's turn our attentions to Leicester City. He said that Leicester are unfortunate as they're going into this game blind, but said it's still going to be played on grass with two goals at each side, so we'll be looking to go and get 3 points definitely.
Yeah, because he's American, though, the post will be elongated and kick it through, and then they're going to have a hoedown at half time.
Exactly, yeah. Is Calvin Phillips going to be a literal quarterback if he's not injured?
Yeah.
Which I still think he is, you know. But
everything's going to be in Fahrenheit. Yeah.
But Leicester obviously won the other day against Burnley, looking to build on this. Personally, I can't really see past a Leicester City win.
No, I agree. Yeah. They need it as well, don't they?
And with Jamie Vardy back.
Yeah, Jamie Vardy's back. Madison's in form. Leeds still working out a new system.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jamie Vardy will be aware that Leeds are still working out a new system.
Yeah.
It's like he'll be running past players going, ooh, do you follow me or don't you? Ooh, what are you doing? Absolute prick.
How's and also,
you learn the system yet? Doesn't look like it.
But also, Vardy, if and when he scores against Leeds, is he going to do some like disrespectful celebration to the fact that they've lost their beloved manager?
Sit on a bucket or something.
They
exactly. They will. Or like the lips trembling he did for Burnley. Yeah. Will he do that to the Leeds?
No, he will kick the bucket, won't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Not literally. No, not figuratively. No, literally.
Yeah, he will literally kick the bucket. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, an intriguing game awaits us there. I think it's the first game on Saturday. So there we are. On Saturday at 3 o'clock, an important one down the bottom end of the table as well. Norwich versus Brentford. Must win for Norwich to keep in touching distance. Although Brentford themselves haven't won in 9 matches and they've only picked up 8 points from the last 42 available. Vish, at the start of the season when there was a lot of chat around Brentford and you started going on about from West London, you know, you were loving Brentford.
I'm not from West London anymore, am I?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. what do you think of Brentford and why have your sort of, you know, makeshift team, not makeshift team, your sort of, your adopted team done so badly of late?
I don't really know. I think it'd be easy to say that they've been found out a little bit, but I think they've... There were some issues before that have just become not exaggerated, but I feel like more people, well, certainly they feel less comfortable. I feel like they had a bit of momentum coming to the start of the season, mm-hmm. and they certainly had a lot more confidence. And, you know, when they went through that run a couple of months ago where they basically started falling into the bottom half of the table, you thought it was terminal. Even some of the results within that that were positive, like when they beat Everton at the Community Stadium, that was off the back of Everton being pretty poor.
Do you think you sometimes get a side, don't you, that come up and the fans really get behind the team in a way that really sort of palpably helps them, and they're full of confidence, they're full of good vibes, and you know, we saw that with Phil Brown's Hull for a while, for a certain part of the season, if you remember back then. And actually, as you say, when they get, maybe not found out, but that can only go so much. You do need a bit of quality. You do need a little bit more thought behind it. And when that begins to wane, what then have you got to fall back on? Because at the moment, they're really relying on other teams being a bit rubbisher.
Yeah. I saw them at the Emirates a couple of weeks ago, and for most of the game, they didn't even really appear to be trying to score. And that seems at odds with a lot of how their style was earlier on in the season. So I don't know if they've lost a little bit of confidence or they've...
They've had a few injuries as well.
Well, and Tony was missing as well, which is obviously pretty huge. So I don't know whether they're maybe trying to manage games in a different way, but they look a different prospect now, don't they? They're, something's changed about them.
Yeah, they're not scoring many and they're conceding too many, which is a recipe for disaster, of course. But I mean, they are currently above Leeds, Everton, and obviously Burnley, Watford and Norwich City, although...
they all have games in hand on them, don't they? Even the two teams above them, I think?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They played 27 and, I mean, Leeds have played 26, and as of Norwich and Watford. But it is... I mean, if they win... against Norwich, I mean, you know, that is quite damning for Norwich because, you know, Everton in 17th
on 22 points, five above Norwich with two games in hand on them. That is getting quite difficult indeed. Delia Smith is, of course, the person in charge of Norwich City. Did you see that she admitted this week that her famous halftime outburst on the pitch at Carrow Road was a mistake that time?
Yes.
You remember? She's finally admitted this.
Mm.
Did she have to admit it? Did we not just assume it was?
I just sort of love it, though.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think any ill of Delia for that. I think it's great.
I don't as well. I think it gave her a lot of... She said, I forgot that Sky Television was there, so I went down to the perimeter and I just said, can you get something on the board to say or sing, you guys? Because the crowd was just sitting there like little mice. There wasn't time, so they gave me a microphone and said, go on and say it. So I did.
And I think, fair enough, she was just being passionate. Yeah.
Fair enough, Jim.
Yeah.
It was just a bit of banter. Yes, that's all it was. Maybe she needs to get the crowd going again for this home game against Brentford because it's a huge one for them. Well, how do you see it going then, Vish? I mean, Brentford should be favourites for this one, but then, what do you reckon?
I think I worry that from what we've just said, Brentford will come into this and be a little bit too defensive. And Norwich at this stage now where they're just going to be, you know, on the back foot swinging punches all the way through.
Yeah.
Because it does feel like this is, for a team that finish that are bottom right now at this stage of the season, I haven't quite looked through previous seasons, but it feels like more teams are in reach, that it is less of a lost cause than it usually would be when there are only kind of 12 games to go.
Yeah.
You know, so what, they're 5 points off, they've also played 26 games, they're 5 points off safety. They need to kind of do something now. They need to go at someone, and Brentford seemed the perfect team for that, especially at home.
Yeah,
I feel like this is the game that ultimately is going to seal Norwich's relegation, or rather all but seal Norwich's relegation. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, I can definitely see them getting a result. At the same time, a draw helps absolutely no one.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So they both should go for it.
Okay, go for it, for crying out loud. All right, well, all eyes will be on that one at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Okay, boys, let's have a break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
There's more to Irish history than St. Patrick. And Shane Todd and Hazel Hayes are here to tell you all about it on We're Not Fucking Historians, the Irish history podcast with a few facts and plenty of crack, like the legendary Irish warrior Cú Chulainn.
Some sources say he killed the dog by driving a hurling stone down its throat. Now he's six. Hazel, did someone say the naughty step?
Jesus, someone went to bed without supper, didn't they?
Someone called Super Nanny because he's at it again.
Or Ned Kelly, Australia's infamous Irish-born bush ranger.
Punishment was imprisonment with or without hard labour.
I'd prefer without.
If possible. Yeah. Like, if it's going. Do you have any without hard labour?
Yeah. Can I have the without labour substitute, please?
Can I get the hard labour on the side?
Can I get almond instead of hard labour, please?
Search We're Not Historians. That's We're Not Historians in your favourite podcast app for weekly episodes every Tuesday.
Let's see what these people have said about it. Amazing. The Times. Whoa. New York Times. A lot of times. Great. Hazel herself.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
I see it a different the way I see it, and I stand by that, and I'm very comfortable and confident in saying what I have to say.
Who would you bring in?
I don't know.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway, everybody. It's time for emails.
Football Ramble.
I love that.
Oh, an email from Martin. This is on the subject of nicknames that we spoke about yesterday. Some Celtic fans refer to James Forrest in his pomp as Near Nick Neymar due to his unfortunate looking shape that resembles someone who's left their coat hanger in their shirt. No. That is lovely, that.
It is lovely. Neymar. It's perfect. Anonymous has been in touch.
Oh, no.
Again.
Why are they always emailing
me? They are emailing me a lot, aren't they? I don't believe this is the shady bedroom activists. I think this is just...
Jim, we didn't see you at the last meeting.
They say, I am writing this in support of... We are Legion. I am writing this in support of listener Benjamin from Wednesday's Pep Talk. I am also a massive football fan living in Halifax, Canada.
Oh,
however,
hello.
Unfortunately, due to the random team selector on FIFA 2000, I support Tottenham Hotspur. I currently have a season ticket to the Halifax Wanderers in the kitchen, the supporters end, and can confirm listener Benjamin's analysis that the main supporters group, called the Privateers, which is fantastic, is, while enthusiastic, quite shit, to put it nicely. Benjamin forgot some of the classic chants, such as insert team name is shit and MLS team rejects. As much as I would love to continue to go in two-footed on the supporters group, I must pull out as I currently work in the soccer scene in Canada and have likely already expressed too much. I would like to extend a hand and a pint to listener Benjamin and his plight for a less embarrassing supporters group. Should he wish to take on the privateer's unwittiness, he need only to find us in section 110 during the first match of the season. Look for those below the denim goths. Yes, it's as bad as it sounds.
This is amazing.
It is.
Got some espionage going on via the Football Ramble.
Yeah, hopefully there's not a big sort of punch-up because, you know, we've then enabled it.
Yeah, spy stuff going on.
If there is a punch-up, do email in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Vish will be straight there.
Yeah.
No, we don't want that. But we are intrigued to see how this develops.
Yes.
It will be a lovely old time and we want to know. We want to know. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Now then, back to the Premier League. Sunday, 4:30 p.m. GMT. It's the Manchester Derby. Manchester City versus Manchester United. Manchester United, they have beaten Manchester City on their last three visits to the Etihad, Vish. Is it going to be a fourth?
Bloody right it is, yeah.
Right it is.
I'm feeling... No, I'm not. I don't think so. I think this is going to be a real test of... Ralph's system. Certainly this is the first time that we'll probably go into a game and have to seed more of the ball.
Yeah, maybe.
Just generally be a bit more defensively robust, which we have not been.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if Ollie was in charge, he'd be more confident, presumably, because his record was pretty good at the end.
Well, when Ollie played Manchester City, or rather when he managed United against Manchester City, he'd basically split the team up into... like a back eight and then a front three.
Yep.
Bruno Fernandes being one of those front three who would just play the ball.
Clearly wasn't the worst idea.
So I'm interested to see how, actually with more structure, Ralf Rangnick and obviously the players adjust to this, and I suppose what it looks like, because we hear a lot about pressing and things like that. I feel like against a team like Man City who shift the ball so quickly, and we can include Liverpool in that as well, that's really hard.
It is.
Well, I find this quite intriguing. It's the first time since Rangnick took over that he'll have faced one of the sort of traditional top six sides since taking over in December.
Yeah.
Which I find is quite remarkable, really. And he's had a bit of shtick since then. More stick rather than shtick. He hasn't had any Patrick shtick. Manchester United are fourth in the league, lest we forget. Although Arsenal have got a few games in hand on them, as do Tottenham. So I'm intrigued how to see how this goes, because it wouldn't be the most ridiculous thing for Manchester United, who are not playing very well, a bit like under Solskjaer, they go into a game like this and actually play well and get some sort of result.
As you say, though, Solskjaer had a good record against Man City, so he's probably knocking about in the canteen anyway, isn't he? Just like doing some work on his laptop or whatever. So maybe they could just get some tips off him for how to do it.
I think that's how it works now at Manchester United. We shall see. They have faced West Ham, by the way.
They're the only traditional top six.
What we were saying. Important news this week. Cristiano Ronaldo live streamed himself on Instagram having a shower in his back garden.
Weird prick. Just is, isn't he?
Yeah. Prick, do you think?
Yeah, like those, you get those people that are sort of like classically handsome, traditionally good looking in some way, like very, very fit, sporty, but something about them that is just a bit lame.
So what don't you like about Vish then?
The company he keeps.
Oh yeah, well, us. Yeah, fair.
Why would you? I mean, having a shower in your garden is quite cool, I think, especially if you live in a hot country. That's quite a nice thing.
Yeah. He was in Manchester, the area, presumably. Or did he fly home to do it?
To have a shower.
In Portugal or wherever he
went home to get it. But why would you put it live?
It's so strange, isn't it? Didn't he do that in a sauna as well for 75 minutes once? Just like live streamed himself in the sauna. He's not even doing anything in these situations.
I mean,
it's showing off his toned body. Isn't
there's
he,
a level
surely?
Of there's a level of confidence. Although I would say there's a level of confidence and also a level of insecurity that kind of come together in perfect harmony with narcissism. These things.
How many people? Yeah, there you go. How many people?
There's
watching
a term
me sweat?
For it, Jim.
Yeah. That's so odd.
Yeah, it was something like 750,000 people, wasn't it?
Watching him crazy shower. Well, you know, good luck to him.
The best.
I don't really know what to say to any of that.
The best of British luck to him.
But it's the thing of like, I'm sad that you need to do that or you feel compelled to do that. But
I find it a bit disrespectful, because I would go as far to say the vast majority of output on Instagram is modest. It's humble. It's not to do with this, you know? And I think he's disrespected the platform, quite frankly.
That is true.
There we are, but we should move on from that. Apparently, Manchester United players have been questioning why Ralf Rangnick keeps selecting Harry Maguire, as they believe his performances are not in keeping with the club's standards.
I mean, they're absolutely in keeping with the club standards right now.
I was going to say, I mean, there's the consistency. Maguire's come in for a lot of criticism and...
Yes.
People questioning his authority and all that kind of stuff.
He's become a bit of a lightning rod for the wider problems at Man United.
He has.
I feel sorry for him. I think a lot of it's perhaps unwarranted. He's certainly had better periods of form. But the problem with Maguire, and you've touched on this in the past, Vish, is that there's this aesthetic judgment of him, that because he stands out, because he's just quite big, and he has that aesthetic of a sort of... He looks like a player from the lower divisions more than like an elite level player.
Yeah.
Although he's done plenty enough to show that he is exactly where he belongs.
He looks like rather than having a shower in his garden, he looks like he'll have a bath in his garden.
Yeah, absolutely,
and an outside toilet.
Yeah,
yeah. And I think it just becomes it very quickly becomes a pylon, doesn't it, on Maguire? It seems to be happening again.
Well, and also the big transfer fee as well.
Yeah,
there is that. And also when he plays poorly, and to be fair, he has played poorly, he's also played, you know, with poor players in front of him.
Well, we're not saying
that's not worked.
We're not saying he hasn't played poorly. We're saying that a lot of them have, you know. But as you say, he seems to be the lightning rod.
But also, yeah, because he stands out when he plays badly. Not least because he's, you know, the last line of defence, you know. So always his mistakes carry that great... you know, they're greater jeopardy, don't they? So, sometimes he looks very cumbersome. It's been a bit harsh, and I think it's easy. You know, I can't imagine that anyone. I don't know that that any other player in that squad should be pulling on that, not up to United's usual standards thread, because I think they'll all unravel.
Yes,
I think that the idea of United standards is an interesting one, isn't it? Because Rangnick coming in, I suppose the idea was to sort of steady the ship, get an interim in to make it a bit of a calmer period. But a club as big as Man United, it's basically impossible, isn't it? It's never going to be calm. Everything's always going to be blown up because the expectations are so high, and understandably so. And I think we're just seeing that in action.
Yeah. The good news for Harry Maguire is at the end of the month, international break. Come back to England, pal, where you're respected and where you play.
Score a towering header.
That is the stuff. There are other rumours swirling around Manchester United after director John Murtough confirmed that a thorough search for a new manager was underway this week. Erik ten Hag has reportedly started taking English lessons in preparations for the talks.
But he speaks English.
Yes, but he wants to maybe get a bit of a Mancunian accent.
Right, that's it.
I assume that's what they mean.
Let's make United shine.
The Times have reported that Carlo Ancelotti has emerged as a surprise backup option if they fail to land one of their main targets.
I can't see that working out, can you? It seems...
I can see it happening.
I can see it. Yeah, same. Absolutely the same, yeah. Well, he's managed Real Madrid.
Exactly,
have you been paying attention to any of this?
Yeah, you've got to remember it won't happen until the end of the season. Right. And you know, yes, he is at Real Madrid. It's Real Madrid, though. So unless he wins the quadruple, which I don't think even is impossible right now. Well, they don't have a quadruple. It would be the treble or whatever. You know what their standards are like. So he may well be free in the summer. We shall see. I mean, clearly when they talk about their main targets, Pochettino's always being mentioned and Ten Hag and so on and so forth. I'd like to chuck in Fizzer as well. But Vish, what do you make of all this? That's the big question. What are your thoughts on this?
In terms of like who I'd like as the next Manchester United manager?
Answer it as you see fitting.
I just think it's... And to be fair, I think Manchester United have had this coming, this period of constant rumour, constant briefing, and so many, clearly so many different visions that are coming out of the club. Mm. You know, I think some of the stories are naturally overreaching, but I would say they all come from a place, their origins come from the club, whether they're just idle discussions that are taken too seriously outside or, you know, certainly a lack of direction within the club. And I know which one, you know, both are absolutely plausible. Both may also be true as well. Pochettino seems like the first choice. Ten Hag, those are the two people that they should focus their energy on. The issue is, though, as we've seen with United in the past, whether it comes to transfers or people in administration roles.
Neither of them know the club.
They don't. That's a good point, actually,
But carry on. You were going
to
say
something. But, you know, you're in a situation where, like, they need to outline their first choice and second choice. I don't think they have that.
Right.
And that's the thing that worries me a bit, yeah.
Mm. Interesting. Well, let's turn our attention to Manchester City, if we will. In a way. Mario Balotelli was talking this week and he said the biggest career regret of his was leaving Manchester City in 2013. He said he could have been there like Sergio Aguero for a long, long time. And he asked about his level at that time and he said, you cannot compare yourself to Messi and Ronaldo. Nobody can. But if we're talking about only football quality, I have nothing to be jealous of them, to be honest. I'm 100% sure that my quality is the same level. One can forget, Jim, what a phenomenal player that
he was. A brilliant footballer, yeah. It's easy to kind of look back on that and scoff a little bit. And of course, like, he wasn't at that level. But that doesn't mean he wasn't at an exceptionally high level. He was, for sure. I wonder if in that case, that level of self-belief is actually a bit harmful because it stops you... perhaps honing certain things and appreciating where you are.
Yeah, sure.
Which sounds like, in retrospect, he has understood.
Yeah.
There's a really interesting interview with Nedim Manoa in The Athletic, where he talks about how Balotelli seems like a completely different person, a lot more level-headed and just a lot calmer. And it's nice to hear.
Yeah, it is. It is. So with Manchester City, though, obviously they're firm favourites for this one. After his goal in the FA Cup, we can see Jack Grealish, do you think, start? I mean, trying to predict... the Manchester City starting 11 is quite tricky at the best of times, other than, say, you know, Kevin De Bruyne maybe and Edison. But would you like to see old Jackie G
in
there?
I would like to see old Jack Grealish in there because, I enjoy watching him. He's one of the most fun players in the Premier League. But actually, given that that Man United's defence has been under a lot of scrutiny and there does seem to be a little bit of disharmony there, Grealish is a player who can do something really unexpected. Mm-hmm. And that may perhaps go to their advantage.
Yeah, we shall see. We shall see, gentlemen. On Sunday before this one, it's Watford hosting Arsenal. Watford, of course, coming off the back of a 0-0 draw at Old Trafford. Roy Hodgson said that it wasn't rocket science as such to get that point. I don't think it was. There was an awful lot of luck involved at times, but they got it. I did think to myself, when I saw the result, I thought, another defensive masterclass from Roy, 2-4. And I saw the highlights, and I was like, oh! Yeah, that was by luck rather than judgment. But they've picked up 5 points in 6 games since Hodgson took charge, which is not fantastic, but it's not bad considering. I mean, it's okay.
Yeah.
Martin O'Neill said this week that Roy gives hope for all football's older generation of managers. O'Neill himself turns 70 next Tuesday. Speaking of Martin O'Neill, he's looking to get back into management, but he confesses he hasn't applied for any jobs.
A lot of mixed signals from O'Neill lately, isn't there?
Sorry, Martin, what does
he want to be courted? He wants to be courted.
Yeah, he does. He misses those days.
I think that's fair. But Watford at home to Arsenal, Jim. Mm-hmm. Arsenal going well. They need to catch Manchester United in fourth spot. Yes. These are the games they need to put away.
Absolutely. And also, I mean, it's been put forward many times as a positive that Arsenal just have the league to concentrate on. And there's certainly something to be said for that because it keeps your squad fresh. But the worry is complacency. You haven't played in ages, but obviously I think Mikel Arteta is very good at managing that sort of thing. I mean, every football fan goes into every game worrying about their team, and I look at this and think, oh, could we slip up here? But I think the key thing is just maintaining focus.
Yes.
And also, you know, Watford, they are going to be a different proposition under Roy Hodgson. They're going to be tough to break down. And that's a different challenge from a team who were a little bit wayward before. So we'll see.
Very much so. Vish, Manchester United obviously are in fourth spot. Who are the team that you worry most about them taking that place? Obviously, West Ham are in there, Arsenal and Spurs. Wolves, points-wise, they're still in with the shout, but after sort of recent losses, people might think not. But who would you worry about the most? Would it be Arsenal?
I think it is Arsenal, actually, yeah. Mm. Yeah, Spurs are a bit Jekyll and Hyde. Arsenal seem to be in a much better headspace as well. Well, that being said, you know, depending on, so what, they're three, so Arsenal are 2 points behind Manchester United at the moment, with three games in hand.
That's correct,
for that reason, obviously, they, you know, they don't necessarily need to win all those games in hand to overcome United. So, yeah, I'd say that's them. And I feel like if you told me that at the start of the season, or certainly in the first couple of months of the season, I wouldn't necessarily be that worried. Mm-hmm. And now it feels like United just need to get their act together much quicker because, yeah. I don't know, like it feels, I feel like I should say that there might be another slip up for Arsenal. But as Jim alluded to, because it's just the league and also because Arteta seems to have a much better grasp on the top and bottom of the squad, players come in and performing, from the periphery, and it feels like everything's a lot more in sync. And so for that reason, I'm a little bit more worried, yeah.
Yeah, my concerns are the situation with the striking position being essentially pretty ineffective. Any injury is going to hit Arsenal quite hard because the squad's very small after January. And also there's still a question mark over essentially how they perform against the big teams. You know, obviously the team that started against Man City at the beginning of the season is completely different from the team that's there now, but they took a battering and they were battered at Anfield as well. And it was, you know, it was a better battering, but it was still a battering. So that is something Arsenal need to address in their remaining sort of big games as well. So it's all up in the air.
It's all up in the air as it tends
but
to
it's,
be.
But it's nice. It's fun.
It is. And you're enjoying yourself.
I really am.
Uh-huh. Well, let's see if we are going to enjoy ourselves in Betway's 4 to Score this weekend. Entry to Betway's 4 to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Game 1, Liverpool versus West Ham, Saturday at 5:30. Jim, who have you picked?
I've gone for Diogo Jota. Because I think he's really good.
That's a fair one.
It's not complicated.
No, he's been out for a little bit, but that won't stop him from scoring goals. Game 2, Watford versus Arsenal, Sunday at 2 p.m. Vish, who have you gone for?
I've gone for Emil Smith Rowe.
Oh, yeah. Magic, you know.
I was thinking of Lacazette, and I thought, no, Smith Rowe, actually.
Okay.
Probably set up by Lacazette.
Yeah, liking your thinking, pal. Game 3, Manchester City versus Manchester United, Sunday at 4:30. Kate Mason had this to say.
All right, you guys. Yes, I've got the Manchester derby. Now, I know everyone always complains so much about having to pick a Manchester City player because no one ever knows who's going to start. So I'm going to go rogue and pick someone from United. Because City have been a bit weird lately. They even lost to Spurs. I don't know if you heard. So yeah, I'm going to go with Brussels boy, Bruno Fernandes.
There we are. Bruno Fernandes she's gone for. Game 4, Spurs versus Everton, Monday at 8 p.m. I have picked Heung-Min Son. Heung-Min Son. So there we are. There are our picks. Game 1, Liverpool versus West Ham. Jim has gone for Diogo Jota. Game 2, Watford versus Arsenal. Vish has picked Emile Smith-Rowe. Game 3, Manchester City versus Manchester United. Kate has picked Bruno Fernandes. And Game 4, Spurs versus Everton. I have gone for Heung-Min Son. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. You can play for free at betway.com/4 to score. Further T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18 to get involved, and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. Right, Jim, what's it now time for?
It's time for this. It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
Here we are. It's Jim's game. Marcus has started with the mind games already, just flexing his muscles.
What mockery this has become.
Yeah, it's Jim. Just it's a game, isn't it? And it's again, yeah, just undermining it.
I don't care about winning.
I know what you feel like. It's hard. The game is hard.
I'm looking forward to Jim's game.
I'm looking forward to watching it, to be honest. And
is it players?
It is players, yes.
Right, okay.
Don't worry, it's not Marcus's game. I know you like that.
Look, you are giggly today, Marcus.
Yeah. So it's in a weird little mood.
You know, we know the rules, don't we? I'm going to name some players, and then one of you are going to have to tell me how many clubs that they have played for that you can name, and then it's the best of five. And then at the end of the day, someone goes home demoralised for the entire week, and someone has a brilliant weekend.
That's true.
Yeah, it is. So who's up first?
Well, it's a top of the table clash, according to Jimmy to the B.
So is the table. So where's the belt gone?
I think that's more like the cup, isn't it? The lineal championship.
Right. Okay.
So Kate is currently the lineal champion.
Well, I thought it was Luke Moore who was the lineal champion because Luke beat Kate, didn't he? And then went on holiday, much to his amusement.
it is. Yes, I've just seen an update in the running order. It is indeed Luke. So bad luck, Kate. So that means Vish is up first.
Oh,
so
what a man.
So this player has played for five clubs. One of them twice. That's irrelevant.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not meant to say things
like that. Don't let me get in your head. So that player, Vish, is Andy Johnson.
Andy Johnson.
Played for five clubs.
Ooh.
What are you going to give me?
Sheet.
Five clubs. Andy Johnson. Andy Andrew Johnson or Andrew Andy Johnson, whatever way you want to put it. What am I hearing?
Oh, I'll start with two.
Two. Marcus, can you better two? It's a tough one.
Four.
Mm. Four clubs.
Because I think if I...
Big talk.
Well, I want to kick him into touch.
Yeah? You want to get a big, big hit in early?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, let's do it.
Well, so, Vish might go five.
Yeah, do you want to go five?
Do you four.
Okay, yeah?
All right.
So, Marcus, Andy Johnson, four clubs. Let's hear him.
Fulham.
Oh, no.
Correct.
Crystal Palace.
Correct.
Everton.
Correct.
And this is the one. Birmingham City.
Correct.
Yeah. Come on.
1-0 Speller.
Come Fulham. On. Fulham. Yeah.
Even I failed to get Fulham played.
No. Everyone's played for Fulham.
Is there an interesting little one?
Listening at home, you've probably played for Fulham. You just forgot about it. Just everyone's been there. It's a lovely old time.
Reminds me of that
lovely day out.
That Bill Bailey gag where he goes, woman kept chasing me around the supermarket the other day saying, you were in that band Hawkwind. Turns out I was.
So, Marcus, you're up next.
Yes.
We got another player, different player.
Oh,
so
can we not do the same one?
No, we can't. We can't, I'm afraid.
Who was the fifth club he played for?
The fifth club he plays for was, of course, Queen's Park Rangers.
Yeah, again! West London. West London Vimes. Yeah. Another one of your teams.
So, Marcus.
Yes.
This next player has played for six clubs.
Ooh.
His name is Luca Digne.
Oh,
it's a tough one. It is a tough
bloody
one.
Bloody hell.
Six clubs.
This is so frustrating because you go, was it that? No. But that's the game, isn't it? It is. Yeah. I'm just literally saying what we tell you every week.
Exactly. Yeah.
Me.
That's yeah, you. Yeah, yeah. That is me.
That was you parodying yourself, but I'm going to need an answer soon.
Two clubs
for Luka Dean. Played for six clubs. Vish, can you do more than two?
Yeah, I can do three.
Oh, can you go four, Speller?
I can't, and I've just got a mind blank, so far away.
Okay, Vish, hit us.
Barcelona.
Correct.
Everton.
Also correct.
They were my two.
And Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Oh, Villa, yeah.
So, yeah, that's he played for six clubs. He started at Lille, then went to Paris Saint-Germain, went on loan to Roma, played for Barcelona after that, then to Everton, and then to Aston Villa. So that is 1-1.
I knew there was another English club. I couldn't quite do it.
1-1. Vish, you are up next. How are you feeling?
Feeling all right.
Feeling all right. It's all you need. All you need. So, this player has played for eight clubs. He is Deco.
Oh, naughty.
My pen is fucked.
Oh, the mind games. There's another pen over there. There you go. So,
shit,
what are you giving
right.
us? Eight clubs for Deco.
Oh, Jesus. Deco.
In my head, that word is just doing the same thing as well, yeah.
Going to need an answer very soon. Come on, Vish.
Going to do four.
Four clubs for Deco. Can you do more than four?
No, I cannot.
You cannot. So, yeah, I think that's an amazing
I thought that was
attempt.
Yeah, there's a strong bid.
So let's hear them, Vish. Deco, eight clubs.
Porto.
Correct.
Barcelona.
Correct.
Chelsea.
Yeah, add them.
Correct.
This might be wrong because I don't know if he played a game for them, but Benfica.
He did not play a game for them.
Do you know what I thought? I thought Benfica, and I remembered. Ooh,
did he play for Fluminense?
He did, but it's too late, isn't it?
I had those three, and I thought I'll gamble on a Brazilian club.
Yeah, shitting bollocks. It's annoying, isn't it? It's annoying.
Yes. Bloody VAR, eh? So, Marcus, you're up.
Oh, yeah, so I am.
What were his other clubs? Fluminense?
Sorry, his other clubs. So, he started at Corinthians. He made one cup appearance for CSA, then did not play for Benfica, then went on loan to a place called Alverca, then played for a club called Salgueiros, then Porto, Barcelona, Chelsea and Fluminense.
So, I feel I've got away with that there. You were very unlucky. That's on a technicality there. Mm.
So you're up now, Marcus.
I'm up, baby.
It is your chance to win.
Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, yeah, it comes around quickly, doesn't
it? It does.
Life comes at you fast. So this player has played for nine clubs. One of those pricks that couldn't just make a decision and stick to it.
Hated by everyone who
absolutely. Played
with.
He is Nigel Rio Coca.
Oh, bloody hell. Fire.
Nine clubs.
Piss off, Jim.
What are you going to give me?
As Luke Moore would say, shit in your hat and punch it.
Nine.
Three
clubs.
Four.
Four? You're going to go for Vish, you're going to go four? Marcus, are we going to hit five for Nigel Rio Coca for the chance to win?
No.
No?
No, you're not.
It is tense.
I mean,
here.
Vish sounded very confident there, but I'm not confident with four.
Okay, so four clubs, Vish, you ready to go?
Yeah.
Four clubs and Nigel Rio Coca. Let's hear them.
He's coming out swinging.
Wimbledon?
Correct.
West Ham?
Correct.
Aston Villa?
Correct.
Portsmouth?
Play the jingle, Jim.
Marcus Speller wins.
Yeah! Take it.
Portsmouth.
Yeah, he did not.
Sunderland?
I see where you went for. No. So he played for Wimbledon, West Ham, Aston Villa, Bolton Wanderers, Ipswich Town,
Bolton.
Vancouver Whitecaps.
That was the one I couldn't remember.
Chivas USA, Montreal Bolton. Impact Start, and he was at MK Dons, but he never played there. So we've got one player left. We're still going to do it.
By the way, I've got away very lightly there.
You have.
I've got
you
away have. With a Decker one. That's a bit of a smash and grab.
Yeah. But, you know, this is how the game works. The game is a
works.
Cruel game that cares for nothing. Thing. So,
in the words of Jose Mourinho, he can go home with a match ball, but I can go home with the 3 points.
Indeed. So, you're up now, aren't you, Vish?
Yeah.
I sort of lost track of it a little bit. So, this player has played for seven clubs.
His name is Barry Bannon.
Oh, bloody Nora, I forgot about him. When you said that, Barry, I was like, is that like one of the superheroes' normal names?
Barry Bannon.
Actually, one of the characters who was the Flash was called Barry Allen, so very nearly.
Oh, there we are.
Yeah. He
Bruce
said,
Banner, was he
like,
one?
Like one of those cool guys.
I'm really glad that I've won this already.
Yeah. Seven clubs.
You can't even remember him, can you?
Two.
So, two clubs for Barry Bannon.
Yeah, that's all. Okay. That's all I had. I definitely have one.
Are you going to make him name two, or are you going to try and get the win?
I think it's no. I've already got the win.
Yeah, but you're going to try and really, you know.
I think it's worked so far. I'd like to see these two.
Yeah, you're absolutely sniding it today, aren't you, like Wesley Snyder?
I got my Andy Johnson, and that was that. That's all I needed.
All right, so two clubs then, Fish, for Barry Bannon. Let's name them. Two of seven. I mean, I know it's easy for me to say, but for fuck's sake.
I'm struggling to...
I think I've got three, but I have to play
Can you go three then? Try and,
Sheffield
know.
Wednesday.
Okay. Let's have a butcher's look at that.
Butcher's look at
that. Correct.
Yeah.
Aston Villa.
Yeah, that was...
Also correct.
Yeah, so they were the two I had.
Yeah.
And you said a third? Or you
no,
yeah,
no,
third?
I said I'm doing two.
Oh, you do? Okay, yeah, yeah, all right, yeah. Okay, yes.
Oh, so he wants his muggy little consolation.
He does want his muggy little consolation, yeah. 3-2,
I had Blackburn as well. Did he play for Blackburn?
He did not play for Blackburn. So he played for Aston Villa, Derby County, Blackpool, Leeds United, Crystal Palace, Bolton Wanderers, and Sheffield Wednesday.
I do actually remember Palace, yeah. Oh, there we are.
What a shower that was.
It's a 3-2 victory for me. So there we are, everybody. The key is in the lock. I've bloody well turned it. The weekend is here, everybody. Follow us up the hill to fun times.
Quit your job, burn your clothes, and follow us.
Why burn your clothes?
Because we're going feral, Marcus.
Where we're going, we don't need clothes.
Oh, we're going back to that bar, are we? Excellent. Well, we'll see you in there, everybody. Marvellous stuff. Have a great weekend. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. Have a lovely time watching those footballs. Enjoy the Manchester Derby. But until then, thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you for Dujan Handaraja.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you very, very soon.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.